the first part of the letter to the Ephesians has become one of my favorite scriptural hymns. It's filled with profound dogmatic truths, revealing to us God's plan for salvation in sending Christ. And then that salvation has come to us through the church. And because of the goodness and the truth revealed through this doctrinal statement and through our doctrine of redemption, it calls forth a response, a moral response on our behalf. And so early in today's reading, St. Paul says, "Watch carefully then how you live, not as foolish persons, but as wise." Another way of saying that is not as unwise persons, but as wise. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the knowledge of God's plan so that we see everything in light of our ultimate end, our ultimate goal, which is union with Him in heaven. So wisdom helps us to order all things properly. So he says, watch carefully then how you live, not as unwise persons, but as wise. Making the most of the opportunity. Now this is a poor translation, I think. Making the most of your time is another way of saying it. Because the days are evil. How do we redeem our time? Redeeming time. St. Augustine explains, it means sacrificing when the need arises. Present interests in favor of eternal ones, thereby purchasing eternity with the coin of time. I'll say that again. It means sacrificing when the need arises. Present interests in favor of eternal ones, thereby purchasing eternity with the coin of time. Time is passing quickly. Every moment is an opportunity. How we use each and every moment matters. And so using today and whatever is being presented, sacrificing our own maybe short-sightedness, our own desires, putting it in the context of the wisdom that is given to us so that we might, in a sense, earn back the eternity that we have lost through our own sinfulness and using of our previous time poorly. Kairos is a word meaning time. It means the point in time we find ourselves, the situation it creates, and the opportunities which this moment offers as regards the ultimate purpose of this life. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá says, time is a treasure that melts away. I think we all know that as you get older, time speeds up. And it's easy for time to get away from us. But to be intentional with the time that has been given to us. It was just a couple years ago that I looked kind of at my own life in a kind of more objective, realistic way. And I thought, there's a lot of things I haven't done. Why? because I had a little inspiration and I never acted on it. I had another inspiration and I never acted on it. I've acted on a couple, but if I would have acted on each and every one of those inspirations, how many things would have been accomplished by this point? A ton. This past week and a half or so, the number of saints that we have celebrated in the church's calendar are some of the best weeks of the liturgical year. Some of these saints had died by the age of 24, and they were considered doctors of the church. The little bit of time that they had, they accomplished so much. So this is an encouragement from St. Paul that we all take a look at our life in the grand scheme of, in light of wisdom, what is our ultimate purpose, and that we seriously take a look at the time that we have been given. And that's not just linear time, but that is each and every moment, what is being presented to us and how can we use it for the glory of God. I will say one aspect that I find myself doing in today's time and culture, I love to complain about the problems. So many problems. Because of these problems, our culture is terrible. How much time is lost and nothing is done? Because we sit and we complain and we do nothing. St. Paul continues, "Therefore, do not continue in ignorance, but try to understand what is the will of the Lord. And do not get drunk on wine, in which lies debauchery." This is just a very practical note. Lot persevered against all of the debauchery in Sodom. But there's one thing that brought him down. Drink. And so, drink is good, but drink also can lead to all kinds of things. But this should also make us think and reflect not upon just the consuming of drink, but the consuming of things in general, including food. The virtue that that refers to is temperance. And temperance is the virtue which holds our passions and desires in check, especially the sensual ones, and which brings us to moderation in using temporal goods. Saint Jose Maria Escriva again says, "Temperance makes the soul sober, modest, understanding. It fosters a natural sense of reserve, which everyone finds attractive because it denotes intelligent self-control. Temperance implies not narrowness, but greatness of soul." And so we ask ourselves, where are those areas in our life that we need to exercise greater temperance? And I didn't have time to really reflect upon, pray upon, study upon, but there is something to anger that we can sometimes take delight in. We almost get drunk on anger. And it's a very subtle thing about anger that somehow we take delight in it. And so that's one area, I would say, in temperance that we can reflect upon. Certainly in regards to food and drink. But there's times when we get angry and there's a tinge of kind of taking pleasure in the fact that we've gotten angry. St. Paul continues, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts. The letter to the Ephesians starts out with a hymn. And here, St. Paul warns us against improper use of time. He warns us against intemperance. And he calls us to fill our lives, our hearts, our minds up with the Holy Spirit, which should stir in us faith in the truth of what God has revealed to us in our redemption, and from that should come forth songs and hymns, which oftentimes should start out silently in our hearts. The song should come from our heart and thus then be manifested externally. But there are times when we are discouraged that we must force ourselves to sing. Because in that song, our hearts are awakened with hope, with truth of Christ's redemption. As I was praying through this scripture passage, Bishop Morlino came to mind. He would always say to our confirmation candidates, kids, take a deep drink of the Holy Spirit. Get drunk on him. This is something you cannot have enough of. The other kind of drink you get drunk on, there's a limitation to it. Take a deep drink of the Holy Spirit. And that is a drink of which you can never have enough of. Many of us have received the gift and the grace and the sacrament of confirmation, where the Holy Spirit was poured out in abundance and we were sealed with it. And so our lives should be a song driven by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so music certainly is one way in which we manifest our gratitude and our thanksgiving for the Lord. But that also needs to be manifested in the way in which we live our lives. For a song is empty if the actions that it speaks of do not follow. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we come here to the altar, we encounter the truth of our redemption that calls forth a response from us. And that ultimate response should be a life filled with the Spirit, wherein we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in our hearts, giving thanks always and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father.